Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, Menachos Daf Pei Hei. We begin at the Mishnah, which is seven lines off the top. So we learned yesterday that you're meant to seek the best possible material for your karbanos. We spoke specifically about the Omer Ashtei Alechem. Says the Mishnah, Ein Mevi'in Lo Mebeis HaZvolim. So when you look to source your material for the mincha, the flour that you need for your karban, you're meant to go for the best. Don't bring it from Beis HaZvolim, a field which has to be heavily fertilized, which is indicative of its poor quality, and there's another reason, because the fertilizer, the animal waste, will impart an odor, unbecoming odor, on the crop, so that will ruin it. That will the acid effect will whatever it will spoil it. So in any case, that's not the optimal source for your mincha. V'lo mibeis hashalach, and more from a field which is more on the dry side, which has to be constantly watered, which also will not yield the optimal crop. V'lo mibeis ha'ila, nor from grain growing, you know, between the trees. There are two reasons given for this. One is the shade of the trees will actually impede the proper development of the grain, or because the trees actually suck out, they divert the primary nutrients from the ground, which leaves the grain with little to use. So these aren't the best places for your grain. If you may be kosher, that's the way it's supposed to, but if you do, you use these materials, okay, it passes. It works. Case of the voice. So now we go back to the Omer. The Mishnah will give us a step-by-step, play-by-play instruction of how they would go ahead with the efforts to produce the most optimal, the highest quality, premium soilus for the Omer. Case of the voice. Nora is just plowing without planting. Near, right? So you leave the field just plowed up, soil overturned, allows it to replenish and to recharge itself. So that's what you do the first year. Nora shod rishon. Vashana shniya, the second year, comes next year. Now it's time to plant it. And you plant it towards the end of the winter, right? Just enough time to get it growing for the Omer. Vashana shniya zoira, koidim l'pesach shivim yom, you plant it 70 days before Pesach. If you do this, you'll get the best of the best. So this grain will produce the good quality, abundant soilus. You know, will have the proper flakiness in it, and will be the best you can have for the Omer. Ketzad boidek hagisper. Now, the farmer is done harvesting this crop, he delivers it to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gizbar, the manager, wants to ensure that it's nice soilus without the unwanted powder. How does he go about doing this inspection? So he dips his hand, his bare hand, into the sack of this soilus, and he checks to see if it's really soilus, which is the flakes, or is it just that powder, flour. If he comes up with the powder on his hand, then psula. He sends it back to the factory. Actually, not petty. Can't use it until it's re-sifted and cleaned out. And furthermore, v'misliya, if it was found to be wormy, then the whole thing is psula. You can't use it, as we're going to see in the Gemara. Worminess disqualifies the material. Ketzad oise, norashad rishoyna, etc. So you should give us the precise instructions on how to yield the best possible crop. First year, you do near. And then it says something about the second year, you go ahead and you plant it. What happens the second year, but do you plow it again? Yiboilu. The question was posed like this. Hey, Chaykamar, what did the Mishnah mean when it said that you plow once and the next year you plant? Now Rashi, by the way, learns, Rashi Ksavya at the bottom learns that you're always going to plow it right before you plant it. Apparently it facilitates the proper absorption of the seeds. That's a given. The question is, do you do another empty plow ahead of the planting season, second year round as well? So during the first year, yes. What happens during the second year? What does the Mishnah mean? On the one hand, you can say, you do near the first year and the second year, and then you go and you plant it. So when the Mishnah says, it means you do it the first year and the second, then you go and you plant it. Or you can say, no. Near is only on the first year. Nara shadar rishayna. Ushniya zera b'layna. Nara. The second year, just go with the planting process without advancing with a near. Toshma, it comes a raya, that in fact, you execute near twice. Toshma, the sanya. Or b'yesi. Avchite karzim akvar achim. Although the Mishnah mentions specific, you know, locales from where they sourced the Omer, but and the Minchas, but actually we had two very good places that we know about, Chite, the wheat of Karzim, Kfar Achim, these two places. If only they were closer, we would use them for the Karbana, for the Omer, Malay. If only Smucha, Yerushalayim, Hayu, if they were situated closer to the city, closer to Yerushalayim, which Rashi learns means more mountainous area, which is optimal for growing grain. Another reason is because if it's close to Yerushalayim, you can just find it right there. You don't have to bypass other grain, which is not preferred. You're meant to take from the first you encounter. So in any case, if only they were closer by, we would use them. They would use them for the Omer. Because really, the Omer is meant to be brought from a field which presents the best growing conditions. You're meant to bring it from fields which are to the south of Eretz Yisrael. Rashi learns situated in the south, and Tosfos learns facing, sort of sloping to the south. So it could be even the north, but sloping towards south, which will be exposed to more sunlight towards the end of the winter. The sun is primarily in the south. More Rashi explains later that the arc, right? The sun arcs around the south from east to west, and the winter time is a shorter day, so it just pretty much centers around the south, just rings around the south from east to west. This is when you're living around the equator, Eretz Yisrael, that's what it was, versus the north, sort of east north towards west north. That's a longer arc, which is only in the summer. Right? So in the summer, it's a bigger arc, starting more northward, coming down to south, and again arcing again to the north, but in the winter it's a shorter arc, primarily based around the south. So it's got to be facing south. That's where it is, because remember the planting took place towards the end of the winter. V'hamnu norais l'kach, and they were prepared, right? They were plowed in advance of this seeding. And the reason shaben chamas erachas is because those fields gain the most sunlight exposure. So the sun rises there and sets there, as we explained, because when you're in the south, you get the whole arc more in a more direct fashion than elsewhere. And the Brisa continues in terms of what is the farmer going to do? Ketzadois, what does he do? Nora shadar rishayna. So the first thing he does near, right? Ushnia chayresh vishayna. Second year as well. He does one plow and another plow before the seeding, v'soira, and he plants it, 7 days before Pesach. And this way he gets the best of the best. Kadesh Tei Smucha L'chama. The reason why, they wait, you know, until the tail end of the winter, at the last minute, because you want to try to catch some sun. Right? You want to catch some warmth. So the closer to the spring and summer, the more sun you have. And then once you did this, you're a winner. Voisa, when you do it in this fashion, you'll get the best crop, the best yield. Kana zeres. So the stalk will be just a tefach wide, v'shiboyles, but the kernel areas, resaim, is 2 tefach wide. You got really humongous, winners. The kaitzer, you harvest it, ma'amer, bundles, v'dosh, threshes, v'zoyer, winnows, v'boyer, and he picks out separates the pebbles, v'teichen, grinds, and rocket. Sifts, or maybe it's a gizbar, and finally, the big day, he brings it to the gizbar for the final inspection, for the certification. The gizbar, machan sol sechi, inserts his hand, as we explained in the Mishnah, also about ava, he discovers some powder, he says, oh, back to the drawing board, go ahead and sift it again. a different method of inspection was given. Gizbar Sachyad Hashem, the Gizbar would smear some oil on his hand so that it catches the powder, Machnas HaSeicha, and he inserts his hand, Achamalakal Afk, until he removes all the powder. In any case, what do the Braises say? Chayrish Veshayna, the second year, he also does the extra plow. And actually, Farshim explained, it means that he does two plows before the plow that's done together with the seeding, which is not being discussed there. We're discussing what he does in advance of the seeding. So we assume that the Mishnah likewise requires a nir to happen during the second year as well. Well, Tameach says, well, 1 second. According to what you're saying, Masisin like Tani Shaina. Raisa, Tani Shaina. Either way, it's not going to reconcile with the Mishnah. At most, the Mishnah requires one plow the first year, another one the second year. And that's how you learn the words of the Mishnah, right? Rishayna, another Rishayna, Rishayna. Mishnah on the second year as well, you do a nir and then you plow. So at most, it's just one nir, but the Braisa clearly required two extra plows the second year around. So either way, it's not going to fit with the Mishnah. So how could you prove anything from the Braisa with respect to understanding the Mishnah? Holy Kasha said, Dimor, that wouldn't be a question. That could be answered like this. Typically, one nir is enough the second year. Kan ba'avuda, if it's a properly cultivated field, which is not overgrown with weeds, so one is enough. Kamashin Avud, the Braisa is speaking about a wild, abandoned field, never, hasn't been taken care of too well recently. So an unmaintained field needs an extra plow to overturn the weeds and ensure that the removal of any unwanted interference. Mayam Eloh, okay, what's the bottom line? Regarding our question, do we do near the second year or not? Because, as the Mepharshim explained, this explanation wasn't really so smooth to learn it in the Mishnah, we had all kinds of questions. Tashma, so here comes the conclusion. That actually the Braisa holds, we do not do an extra plow the second year. Near is only the first year, and then you can plant it. The second year. Tashma the son. Nor chetzi v'zera chetzi. Nor chetzi v'zera chetzi. So actually, this Braisa gives us a slightly different system. In order to avoid overloading the field, we do it half at a time. We plant it half at a time. So, look, we have a big field. We plow it all at once. And nor chetzi. First half, you leave it. Leave it fallow. And you only plant the second half. The next year, you just reverse it. Right? But you don't need to do another plow. There's no discussion of another plow. Right? Because the second year, all you do is one more plow before you seed the other half. So there's no extra plowing going on. Once again, Rabbi Yechanan instructs us on how to procure the best possible material for the Omer. The southern fields in Eretz Yisrael, Shaben Chama, Zerachas, Ben Chama Shekas, which benefit from the most sunlight at that point of the year. Tanya Mihachu, we find the same in the Braisa. Amashol Omer Yabam Bikas Beis Mikla. The Omer would come from this place called Bikas Beis Mikla. Kivas Shalosh Sin Haisa. The whole field yielded only three Sa'ah of Tvor, which actually, listen to this, it fits like a glove because that's exactly how much the material they needed for the Omer. So it was providentially matching for the Omer. V'sadam udremas Haisa, and it was a southern field. V'chamay Zerachas, Menachamay Shekas, which the sun would rise and set, right, like we explained. And you do this alternating system, nor chetzi, zera chetzi, the first year you plow it out, and only plant half. Next year you reverse the system, nor chetzi, zera chetzi, and you have what you need. Rav Chilki Bar Tuvi, he had a little teeny field, havaleich karnadari, a little corner, a little property. And it did very well because he followed the instructions provided by the Chachamim. You listen to the Chachamim, you have atzlocha, not only in Ruchnis, even in Parnas and Gashmis, right? So he did half at a time, right? Nor chetzia, v'zor chetzia, nor chetzia, v'zor chetzia, v'ad al chatrei. And it produced twice as much as you would typically expect. Not only that, it was the best quality, meant for connoisseurs. Mazman lo lechite, he would sell his weedless mida for the purpose of making soilus for the wealthy people. Back to the Mishnah. Wormy material cannot be used. So if most of the flowers is found to be wormy, you can't use it. The chitin, she slew ruban psuls. Likewise, if you have, you know, actual wheat kernels, mostly wormy, the whole thing becomes disqualified. Now, what does mostly mean? Most of the sack disqualifies the entire sack, or each kernel separately, most of it, this kernel, okay, so then the whole kernel is gone. But Rabbi Yirmiyah, Breiv Chita, do we look at each kernel separately? So most of it is wormy, the whole thing is disqualified. I Breiv Sa'a, even the Sa'a, let's say you have a sack here that's mostly wormy, you can't use the entire thing. Take it, we leave it unresolved. By Rava, here comes another question. Yigdishan, let's say he dedicated for Hekdish. He wasn't supposed to, but he did. Now we know that if one is Magdish, a blemished animal, there's a lav, he gets Malkus. What about blemished wheat? And the pasuk says, "Uman chasav and eskim." It has to be tmimim. It has to be complete. It has to be unblemished, perfect quality, unwormed. What if he did? Hikdush and mal sheilka aleim nishim balmum. Does he get malchus as though he dedicated a balmum? Given the pasuk of balmum dami, shall we say, since they're disqualified due to this deficiency, they are treated like blemished animals, so he gets malchus. Or then what you can say, "Ein balmum el behema." The concept of blemish and the malchus that comes along with that is only by an animal. So although this wormy stuff is not really suitable, but you can't technically call it a Baal Mum. And there's no Malkus. Take it, we leave it unresolved. Not Hassam, we find the same idea in a Mishnah regarding firewood for the Mizbeach. It has to be good quality, without worms. Kolaitz, Shinin Tzavotelas, Pasol, Legav Mizbeach. In fact, it was special Kehan dedicated to Baal Mum, and those that couldn't do Avodah, they would inspect, do a hands-on inspection of the firewood piece by piece. They found it to be wormy. The puzzle, when do we throw away the entire piece? Only if we're still moist. And Rashi says because it's it gets squirmy in there. You know, the snails, you can't clean it up and just use the rest. But if it's dried wood, so you know it's wormy, just give it a little scrape off, sand it down, and use the rest. So if it's moist, it doesn't really lend to that clean, a proper clean. But if it's dry, go ahead and use the rest. By Rava, same question we had before. Suppose he was Magdish, a wormy piece of firewood for the Mizbech. Yigdish, Mao Shil Kal, does he get Malkus? Mishum Almum, because he did a Balmum as Hekdish. Given the possible Balmum Dami, shall we say, since it's disqualified due to this deficiency, it's like a Balmum, and therefore he gets Malkus? Balmum Dami, I don't know, you can say, no, ain't Balmum, the concept of Balmum is only by animals. Ela Bebehema, take it. Okay, so we spoke about the process of farming your field in a manner that produces the best high quality material for the menachos, specifically the omer. We spoke about location and the seasonal preferences in terms of how to yield the best crop. Until now we spoke about flour. Now we proceed with a discussion regarding procuring, obtaining the best possible oil for the mincha. Mincha is comprised of two primary elements, which is the seilas and the shemen. Where do we find the best oil? Tekoya, a town in Israel called Tekoya. Alpha, that's the best place for oil, the shemen. That's in the territory of Asher, as we're going to see in the Gemara, which was blessed with an abundance of high-quality oil. Okay, second best, Niela, is Regev, a place called Regev. Be'evar Yarden, in a district called Eber Yarden, actually it was on the west, on this side of the Yarden, in Israel, the west bank of the Yarden. Kol haaretz so yikshiras technically can bring from anywhere. Elam ekanam mivin, they would prefer these locations. Ein mivin leim beis hazval, once again, ensure that it's not poor quality. Don't bring it from the heavily fertilized field, like we said before. Ve'leim beis hashalach, leim beis hashalach, nor from an olive grove which has other plantings between the trees, which robs it of its nutrients. Maybe kasha, if you did it, it works, but it's not recommended. Ein mivin on pakten, but you shouldn't bring acidic olive oil pressed from very unripe olives. Vim hevi kasha, if you did it, it's okay, it still passes as olive oil. However, if you should bring oil from squeezed out of soaked olives that were soaked in the water, that's not proper oil. Nor from pickled olives, nor cooked olives, and maybe possible in this case, even b'di'evet, it doesn't work. Okay, we begin with a story. It took place at the time of David HaMelech, when Yoav was trying to reconcile between David and Avshalom. Vayishlach Yoav Tekoya, was looking for some good advice. He sent to the town of Tekoya to get some wisdom to find somebody who can advise him. He found and he summoned from there a very wise woman. Now, why was he looking for wisdom in Tekoya? Maishna Tekoya. Rabbi Yochanan, listen to this. Mitel shiragilin b'shem azai, since they're accustomed to consuming olive oil, it's a primary element of their diet in Tekoya, so olive oil imparts wisdom. Chachma mitzvibahem. Unbelievable. So the diet can actually affect a person's intellect. Tana Rabbana, mitel b'shem raglai. This was the bracha that Maish Rabbeinu gave the Shevet of Asher, mitel b'shem raglai. The Chalka Shul Asher, referring to his territory, Shemoshech Shem Kemayim, which had an abundance of oil, would just stream away like a spring. Amru, in fact, it was an amazing story, Pamachas, which highlights the this point. So one time, Nitzruchu Lahen, the people of Lutke, they needed oil, Hashem, they were out of oil. Minu Lahen, so they hired this Plumustas Echad, this Geisha, this manager, this Roman manager, to this agent, I don't know, Roman, but he was an agent. He was gonna get some oil. Amrle, they told him, Lech Babylon Hashem Meir Ribui. Okay, if you can find us some oil, we would appreciate it. 100 Ribui. Now Ribui is 10,000, so 100 times 10,000 mana. That's a lot of oil. Okay, so he got to work. Halach l'Yerushalayim. First stop was Yerushalayim. Amrle said, no, we're out. We can't supply that type of oil. Lech l'Tzur, go to Tzur. Halach l'Tzur, he went to Tzur. Amrle sent him to Lech l'Gush, go to Gush Chalav. Halach, he went to Gush Chalav, which Rashi says was in Asher's territory. Halach l'Gush Chalav, expecting to find some goods. Amrle, so the people told him, go to so-and-so. And you find what you need. Lechetzel, plain l'sadalas, go to this farmer who's in that field over there. Go to that field. And you'll find your oil. Umatzai, so the fellow went, and he sees this guy, didn't look very impressive. He was, Shaya Isaac Tachaseisav, he was holding his, cultivator. He was cultivating the soil underneath the trees. And he looked like just a work. Amrulai, so the agent tells him, Yeshtacha Shemen Bemeya Ribui Shani Tzorach, perhaps do you have access to all that oil? Amrulai says, sure, I'm telling Hashem Yesai Malachti. He says, yeah, but I'm busy now. Wait a little bit, okay? Him telling Hashem Malachti. So the guy waited patiently until he finished his work. La'acha Hashem Malachti. Okay, once he was done his day's work, Hivshel Kel Lachirav. So he slung his tools, over his back. He looked like just a laborer. So as he's walking home, he's clearing the orchard, the grove of these stones. It looked like he was just a plain worker. He wasn't really, playing the part. So the agent turns to him again and says, I just want to confirm. Are you sure you have that oil that I need? All that oil? I think this whole thing is just, it seems to me just a setup, just a joke. It appears to me the Jews just set me up for a disaster here, just playing games with me. Okay, but in any case, he waited patiently, followed this Yid back to town. Once this Yid approached his town, his maidservant comes out with hot water to wash him up, a container of hot water, he washes hands and feet. Next was a container of oil, and Malay Shemen, right, the gold, canister filled with oil, he dips his hands and feet in, fulfillment of the pasuk, okay. So this fellow is really intrigued. So after he brought him home, for l'chaim, he gave him to drink, he gave him a meal. Okay, he says, oh, yeah, what do you need? Oh, it was oil, right? So he goes, takes him to the storeroom, and measures him up, exactly how much he needed. 100 ribu of oil. He says, is that it? Anything else I can help you today? Amrulay says, so much deserve. He says, perhaps he did more, I can give you more. Amrulay says, actually, I can use more, but I don't have enough money. I ran out of money. Hey, sure, Elish Enli Dom, I don't have no money. Amrulay says, I'll give you on credit. You want to buy more? You want to take more? I'll just go along with you. I'll escort you back home and I'll I'll pick up payment over there. Veto Domov. I'll get the, you know, paid over there. But Lo Shem Mishmanes Ribu. So he had another 18,000 Ribu worth of oil. And the problem was, he would have done more, but he ran out of trucks. Amrulis, it was said that Lohinia Chayseish, this agent, didn't leave a moving animal behind. He hired everything. He rented all the animals, and that's just all the animals that he could find to transport the goods. And that's it. That was the end of that. Lo Sus, Lo Peret, not a horse, not a mule, but a gamel, nor a camel, a chamor, nor a donkey. Eretz Yisrael, throughout the whole Eretz Yisrael, Shlo Yisachar, he didn't hire. Okay, so he's on his way home with this whole huge shipment of oil. Kivan shigel le'irei, once he comes home, Yotzvan she'irei, so the townspeople come out, l'kalsei, to thank him, to praise him. Wow, this is an amazing feat. Amar lem, she says, what are you thanking me? Loili kalsuni, don't thank me, don't praise me. Elo lezeh she'ba'imi, praise and thank, show gratitude to the fellow walking along with me. He's the boss. Not only did he give me what I needed, he added on credit. First, he gave me the 100 ribuy. Not only that, he now has a balance with me of 18,000 ribuy. This story highlights the lesson in the pasuk, a pasuk in Mishlei. Appearance isn't everything. At times, a person presents as a wealthy man, but really, ain't coil. He's not a man of means. It's just external. On the other hand, misroishu, sometimes he looks poor, just a plain worker in the field. This fellow is nice and wealthy. And Farshim explained this, of course, relates to ruchnius. Sometimes a person presents like a Talmud Chacham, everyone thinks that he's a man of prominence, but really, it's much less than that. On the other hand, a person sometimes doesn't present like a prominent person, but really, internally, you can ask him anything, a Talmud Chacham, which is really what counts. Okay, so we discussed what a fine good oil, in the Chelek of Asher, specifically in Tekaya, Gush Chalav, interesting story, which relates to the topic of the oil, but also concluded with a life lesson. All the best, Yonatzlach Rabbah.